Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Wednesday, February 16th. And Wesley, how many more days do we have until Selection Sunday?
A smooth 25 days left.
Smooth 25. So we're getting there. You would think as we're getting there that we would be dropping more podcasts, but we haven't recorded in like 2 weeks. I guess we're sorry. It's definitely our bad. You know, life gets in the way of things a lot of times. But we are back. We're very excited to record today. And we have a very fun special segment.
Is this a first time?
We've never done this. A lot of the stuff we recycle, like buy or sell, mid-season awards, stuff like that from previous years. We have never done this one. Alex, would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, so we're going to be presenting you guys with some blind resumes, and it's going to be your job to see which team you like better. So we're not going to give you the team. We're going to give you their stats, things like their overall record, their strength of schedule, quad one wins, stuff like that.
And basically the reasoning behind this is obviously when you do these blind resumes, one team stands out as better. Mm-hmm. The whole point of this is we're picking two teams that, in at least I was looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology. Who are you guys looking at?
I was looking at Joe.
I was looking at Joe Lenardi as well.
Okay, so we're basing it off Joe Lenardi's current bracketology, which is only about a day or two old, I think.
Yeah.
Where we find two teams that are relatively close to each other and we think to ourselves, this doesn't seem right. It was a few discrepancies we may have had with it. And we're just going to list their resumes, put them side by side to kind of show which team we think is better. And we'll see if people agree. Who wants to lead it off with their blind resumes?
Alex, you want to kick it off?
I got three teams in mind.
Yeah, three.
Charlie had two and Alex has three.
Are all three around the same range?
Relatively, yes.
All right, let's hear them.
So this first team, Leonardo currently has them as a 7 seed. They're 17-7, 19th in net, 17th BPI, and their strength of schedule is 61. They are 0-5 against quad 1 teams.
Okay, no good.
5-2 in quadrant 2, but no real bad losses. Their best wins are at Virginia, who is not a tourney team, and then at home against Indiana, who is probably in the tourney right now, is around a 10 seed. Then we have another 7 seed who is 17-9, 29th in net. Strength of schedule is 7th. 6-6 quad 1, 3-3 quad 2.
I wonder what team this is.
Best wins, we got Nova twice, Providence, and at home against Illinois. Bad some losses wins, right? Are at Butler and neutral against the Bonnies. And then the third team is currently a 10 seed, 21-2, 24th in the net. Strength of schedule is 258, but they are 2-1 against quad 1 teams, 2-0 against quad 2 teams. Best wins are at Memphis and against Chattanooga.
If they only have two losses, I didn't hear any in quad 1 and quad 2. Was it a quad 3 loss or was it a quad 4 loss?
They have one quad 1 and one quad 3 loss.
Okay.
And their worst loss, the Q3 loss, was to ETSU.
All right, I'll give you my take on this. The team that stands out, I would say, from the pack in that is obviously the second team you listed. Just by intuition, I'm pretty darn sure that was Marquette. Am I right in saying that?
That one was 100% okay. Marquette.
The giveaway was the two Nova wins. That was the clear giveaway.
Between the other two teams, I tend to lean towards the third, even though they're a projected 10 seed. But if someone really made a hard argument for that first team, I wouldn't necessarily disagree, considering that the third team you listed was 253rd in strength schedule.
But my problem is I agree with you. I think the third team has definitely a better resume than the first. The first has more opportunities against good teams, and the second has minimal opportunities, but they're capitalizing on them. 4-1 in quad 1 and quad 2 games, and their one quad 1 loss, this might give it away, was to Auburn. This 10 seed is Murray State. The 7 seed is Iowa. Iowa yet to pick up a quad 1 win.
I 100% agree with this. I think Iowa's not really a good team. They haven't really shown me anything impressive almost this entire year.
And they're
like,
the highest team in net.
You lost to Purdue by 7. I've actually talked to an Iowa fan that tried to list that as one of their positive traits.
Yep.
We only lost to Purdue by 7.
So a losing margin as a good argument, that
if you do that, that's just your team isn't
good. I guess the only reason they're on the 7 line is because they haven't really lost to a stinker. Mm-hmm. Like their worst loss is at Penn State, which is... I mean, it's not great.
Not great. You can live with it. Unlike a team's losses that I might get to. So do you have any like other things you just want to pound in there? Any takeaways?
I just think Murray State, they averaged the second most points in the country, I believe, and the second best field goal percentage in the country. I think Murray State should definitely be higher than a 10, and I don't see why Iowa's even close to a 7.
And line. If you were ranking Marquette, would you put keep them at that 7 or would you move up to a 6?
Maybe bump them up to a 6, but I think, I mean, 7, I think it's a touch low, but I don't think it's terrible.
Okay. Wesley, do you have your arguments crafted for your teams or do you want me to go?
No, I have my arguments crafted. All right, let's start up. So I'll start with Team 1. So Team 1 has an overall record of 16-10. They are 1-7 in Quad 1, which is quite brutal. They have some bad losses in the beginning of the season at home versus Texas Southern, which is that's the key one. And then on the road against Maryland, I would consider that also to be a bad loss. Mm-hmm. And at Texas A&M as well. Are there bad losses? And their best wins are at home against Mississippi State and other conference wins. Another home win against Oklahoma State, I guess, is considered a good win, I guess. This team was also in Joe Lunardi's most recent bracketology. This team was on the first four out.
Okay.
So they were right on the bubble, I guess, where compared to everybody else. And this team is, that I'm about to list is also on the bubble. They are in the last four in.
This is the second team.
The second team. Okay. Team two now. Team two is on the last four in. They are 18-7 overall with a 4-1 quad one record. So significantly better quad one record. And they're just barely ahead of the team I listed before. Noble wins are at Duke, home against Virginia Tech, and then also home again, or at Virginia Tech, sorry, and then home against North Carolina as well. With bad losses really only being in the beginning of the season to Dayton, which was...
And, like, if you're considering Dayton a bad loss, then I guess Kansas has got that one, too.
Kansas is a little different. And then at home against Notre Dame, I guess you consider that a bad
Notre Dame's
loss
in
well.
Right now.
Notre Dame's in, but I'd say that's still a bad loss. And then also early season neutral side against UCF.
You said this team is...
For last four in.
Last four in.
So these teams are about equally on the bubble. A different bracketologist could have flipped them.
In my eyes, the second team you listed, I don't see how they're worse than Iowa.
I don't either.
They have four
especially
quad
the
one
road,
wins
road,
at Duke.
At Duke.
Yeah.
Which
in
is
my eyes,
arguably
they be ahead
the toughest
of
places
Iowa.
To play, honestly. I
agree.
Say. So I think they would be ahead of Iowa as well.
I think the first team is an absolute stinker.
I agree. Do you want to name the names of the team? Because I'm pretty sure me and Alex have our ideas over here. But
Team 1 was Florida, the Florida Gators. So some may make the argument that they've probably played about 5 to 6 games a season without Colin Castleton, who is their best player. Mm-hmm. But he has been present in some bad losses, like the loss to Texas Southern he played. Texas Southern is a terrible team.
Yep.
I don't know what the record is, nor do I care, because they are Texas Southern.
Are they in the WAC, or are they still in the Southland?
South Southland still. I know they're not in the WAC for sure.
Okay, they might not be in the Southland. I don't know. They're not one of those.
They're in a bad conference. But and then a loss to Maryland, I would consider that a bad loss.
Yes.
Especially with it was a Turgeon-led team who may be a handicap on the team as well. So I think that's a bad loss as well. And the Gators have not had any good wins. I mean, they play in the SEC, so they have opportunities with Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee. They have, and Kentucky. They have great opportunities. They have not beaten any of those teams. None. They've lost Bama, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, and Kentucky. They have games against Auburn, Arkansas, and Kentucky in their last five, so they could pick a win there. But they so far, one quad one win, that's not a tournament team. In my opinion, I would much rather see a mid-major team that's maybe 3-1 quad one get the bump over a 1-6 Florida team in quad one.
I couldn't agree more.
And then Team 2 is the Miami Hurricanes. They've put together a nice year.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
Sans Chris Likes.
Sans Chris Likes, which is bananas that it's even happening. You can't blame them for this. They play in the ACC, and the ACC is not good this year. But you can't. Duke is still good.
Yes, they're making the most of the.
They're making the most. They have.
Unlike North Carolina.
Unlike
gets
North Carolina.
Blown out by 20 at home by Duke.
And Florida. And they have two losses to Florida State. One was a choke where they. Both are 1-point losses, 65-64 and 61-60. Both 1-point losses to Florida State. Let's say they pull those two games out. They're a 21-win team. They're 21-5. And just like that, they're probably on like the 7th.
That is actually wild to think about.
Two games.
Obviously,
lost
it's heavily and Bozonko. It's
heavily.
But still, it's 1-point losses.
And I think Miami's definitely a tourney team.
Mm-hmm. And they lost to Alabama beginning of the year by 2, 96-94.
Yeah. Do you guys want me to get into mine?
Go for it.
This one, you know, some things come out of left field. I will just say this one is not coming out of left field.
This is an expected take, maybe?
Maybe, yes. The first team is on Joe Lunardi's next four out. Okay. So right on the bubble. Mm-hmm. But if it were to happen right now, according to Lunardi, they would not be in. They are 16-9, and they are 10-5 in Big Ten conference play. Their quadrant one record is 6-3, and they have notable wins against number one Purdue, Michigan, Iowa, who I don't really like, but they're a projected seven seed, so you at least have to list.
Yeah, count it. Yep.
Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin on the road, may I add, at the Kohl Center on a weekend, and Illinois. Those last four, you're just cutting through the swath of the Big Ten. Their quadrant three record is not great, 2-2, and they also have a quadrant four loss to Lafayette, who is, you can look up Lafayette if you want, but they are not very good. I don't see how a team that has beaten almost every good team in the Big Ten and is 6-3 quad one is currently on the outside of the bubble looking in. It makes no sense to me. Yes, they had bad losses, but they're at the beginning of the year. You have to value games at the end of the year more. They were dealing with injuries. Joe Baker was sick for a lot of those games.
Okay, there's a giveaway.
There's the team giveaway. Rutgers.
Oh, yeah, the team giveaway. I slipped up.
I do want to say this, though. You, as of Leonardo, I think his bracket came out yesterday. So this is the next four out for Rutgers is not including their big win tonight.
I agree. They did just beat Illinois tonight, and it's not
probably
included.
That's not included. To get in.
Yes, they'll
but
be still, in.
But how I much think, do you expect Leonardo to move him up? He'll maybe put him into either the next last four in or the like first four. Yes,
yeah,
he's not going
to
move him up that much.
Comparing Rutgers to like a team that Wes just said, Florida, who is ahead of Rutgers.
Well, right I'm going to compare him to another both, bubble team. You guys ready?
They're both last four out. I think
because Florida this team, they're not the last four in. This team I'm comparing them to are the last four buys. So maybe Rutgers will get up to that on Lunardi's bracketology, just knowing the way he operates.
Yes.
This team is 18-8, and they are also 10-5 in their conference, but they play in the ACC, which you noted is
the worst Power 5 conference this year.
A stinker. Quadrant 1. Remember, first team I listed, Rutgers, 6-3. Quadrant 1, 0-7. Their good wins were against Michigan really early in the year when like people thought Michigan was going to be okay, but they lost like 8 games in a row basically. And Florida State, maybe? I guess Florida State's beat Miami, but Florida State hasn't been doing too hot recently. I mean, no. That's literally the closest thing you can get. Obviously, they don't have many good wins because their quadrant one record is 0-7.
Yep.
Obviously, 7 of their 8 losses are to quadrant one teams, so that means that they're beating the teams that they typically should beat.
Mm-hmm.
Quadrant two, quadrant three, etc. I mean, the only real thing that I like about this team is they have cool jerseys. Like, I really like their colors.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away the team, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, I understand that Rutgers, team one, I guess, if you want to call them that, has some bad losses, but this has been known for quite some time. This team does not have a single quadrant one win, and not only are they ahead of Rutgers, they're in the last four buys, not the last four in. This team is North Carolina. I think North Carolina is terrible. I don't think they should be in the field of 68.
And I think your record includes the game they played today, right? 18-8.
The record 18-8 includes the game they played today. I don't know if their game today was
a stinker of a loss at home against Pittsburgh, a sub 500 team, and they got blown out.
Do you think it's a quadrant two or quadrant three loss?
Probably three.
I would guess.
I would have guessed two, but I wouldn't be surprised if
it's probably the line. It's probably close.
And so once again, that game's going to bump UNC down, and Rutgers win over Illinois is going to bump them up. But they're still going to be a lot closer than you would think in this bracket.
Because as it sits right now, as UNC being last four buys and Rutgers being next four out, they're probably like a difference of like 8 teams between them.
Yeah.
So they'll probably be about like it'll even out to where they'll be maybe. Rutgers will be in probably last four buys / last four in, and UNC will probably be first four up.
Let me just put it this way. Obviously, teams that get in the tournament, it's off their resume, not how good they are perceived to be.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
if you were having Rutgers play North Carolina at a neutral site, I think Rutgers is 9-point favorites. I wouldn't even have to think about it.
Here's my take. If I was a member of the selection committee, I would highly value quad one wins, but I would not overlook a mid-major team like Murray State, who only has played 3 quad one wins. They have capitalized on two of those.
I agree 100%, but North Carolina has not capitalized. They're 0-7.
And I'm saying UNC, they should not.
I think they're in the same conversation as Murray State. If Murray State's a 10 and UNC's last four buys, what, maybe an 11? I haven't looked at their exact seating. Yeah,
give me
10 or 11, bro.
Yeah.
Give me Murray State any day over North Carolina. I agree 100%. Their resume is better. I don't care about strength of schedule. They have played 3 quad one games, have 2 wins. UNC has played 7, and they have 0.
I would say that any team that's around the last 4 in, last 4 buys, first 4 out, that area, I think Rutgers has an argument over everyone, every Power 5 team in that argument.
And one more point I wanted to make just to like wrap this up. I'm not saying that Rutgers losses just need to be forgotten about. I know I kind of hinted towards
that. But they are the hottest team in college basketball.
But they're the hottest team in college basketball right now, and their losses are already baked in my opinion, baked in way too much in their seeding. If they didn't have those losses, what would Rutgers be right now? Once again, I know it's ABU, like
probably 6.
Probably.
Another interesting team.
So it's like it's already clearly factoring in, but I don't think it should factor in
like if they
6 seeds wise, just because they lost to Lafayette once.
I have a question for you, Chuck.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Iowa State? Because Leonardo has Iowa State as the last 4 bye.
Is it an 11?
And Iowa State, obviously, they've been struggling recently. They've had some bad losses recently. But they do have 8 quad one wins.
I know. I tend to think that they should 100% obviously make the field. And listen, this is not me even saying that I would necessarily pick Iowa State because they're not playing the best ball right now.
Nope.
But if you look at their resume, you look at their track record, they've got enough quality wins, in my opinion, to guarantee them a tourney spot. You guys?
Yeah.
I think so. I just found it interesting that Rutgers and Iowa State seasons are like flip-flopped.
Yeah.
Because Iowa State was so hot in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, well, Big 12 is, I wouldn't say a significantly better conference than the Big 10, but it's way more competitive top to bottom, I'd say, than the Big 10.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
The top is probably decently even, but the depth of the Big 12 is...
I think the top of the Big 12 is...
It's still probably a little bit better, but not... The bottom of the Big 12 is miles better than the bottom of the Big 10. So
they don't have a Nebraska.
So Iowa State being 4-9 or 4-8, whatever they are in conference play, is bad, but it's not like... That's like awful. Like, and Minnesota being like that would be terrible.
Yeah, and the point of this is not to, you know, bag on these bracketologists. They're doing their best. They're doing what they think the committee will do.
It's tough.
They're doing what they think the committee will do. I'm not saying that Lenardi thinks that Rutgers is bad necessarily. Yeah. He's just doing what he thinks the committee will do because the committee values net, even though Rutgers is like 90th in net.
He's just trying to give the most accurate representation.
But this is just basically us saying that we disagree with a few things, not... There are a lot of things we also agree with in the bracketology, but there are a few things we disagree with. And, you know, I think it just helps to take a step back and just take a holistic approach at these teams' resumes to really see which one is better. I think we all made 3 pretty sound arguments for these teams.
Yeah, in my personal opinion, I would give the benefit of the doubt to a team with the great wins and a few bad losses over a team with mid wins and maybe a couple bad losses.
Or no bad losses. Mm-hmm. But then you also can't discredit though the mid majors. Then that's where I think it's tough. It gets tough there.
Yes, you're right. Fair. It is a 2-way street. Should we get into the recaps? Obviously, we're not going to go back from when we last recorded. We'll probably start what, Saturday. Saturday had some nice games.
Yeah, Saturday, February 12th. We can start off on this is a pretty good slate, I'd say, for this day. We can start off with Baylor hosting Texas and winning this game 80-63. I feel like now it's kind of weird that, like, I think Baylor's been picking up some decent wins recently, and they have a good game they're playing in right now.
Do we know the score of the game right now?
They're down 10 to Tortilla Nation.
Oh, Tortilla Nation.
Yeah, Tech is also a great team, too, though. So just
Tortilla Nation is the second best team in the Big 12.
Behind?
Kansas.
Kansas, okay. I agree. I do agree with that. But yeah, but Baylor, other ever since their Alabama loss a couple weeks ago, they have wins against West Virginia, Texas, and I guess K-State too. The loss to Kansas was bad too.
K-State does have 5 quad one wins.
K-State is probably the worst in the Big 12.
What I'm saying. The Big 12 is,
and they can still pick up wins,
and they can still get so the Big 12 is pretty insane this year. How there's really no awful teams, I would say. But a good win for Baylor to get back on track. Kansas barely squeaks by against Oklahoma, 71-69. Another team that I was considering, like, maybe saying something for was Oklahoma.
I was just going to ask. You were talking pre-podcast about how you really love this Oklahoma team.
See,
do you kind of want to do a dive into their resumes while we're still on topic, sort of?
Yes. So they are, I believe, like 3-8 or 4-8 quad one, something like that. So, like, not the best. But, A, Big 12. So every pretty much the majority of Big 12 games are going to be quad one. Majority, because there's what, five or six ranked teams in that Big 12, so those are all gonna be quad one games. Their last three games, they beat Texas Tech at home, which is a great win. They lost on the road to Kansas by two, and they lost to Texas at home by two. So that's three straight good Big 12 teams where that, I mean, it's the same argument Luke would make about losing by less than seven or whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, not that good of an argument. But this Oklahoma team is better than 14-12 is all I have to say. That's what I have to say
about that. My only thing with Oklahoma is they might have four quad one wins. Three of them are against ranked opponents, but two of them were against Arkansas early season and Florida, who we talked about, which stinks. And their other one came against Texas Tech at home, which is a great win.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at a Rutgers resume, I'm just going back to it. They have five top 25 wins.
I agree. Against I'm saying that Rutgers is a much better team than Oklahoma. I would just like to see
every quad one win for Rutgers was a ranked win, and it was honestly like
Michigan.
Like personally, personally going to Charlie's argument, I would probably put Oklahoma in over UNC. In my opinion, that might be a hot take. That might be a hot take, but.
They need to close. They need to close things out to end the season.
It's like,
A team that's going to go into March. They are battle tested. They can hang with any team in the country.
They're not going to be afraid to play.
No, because that's what helps with playing in a big, impressive conference like the Big 12 is this year.
This game, they lost by two to Kansas.
Exactly. So this kind of proves that I think they deserve a spot. We'll see if they get it though, because they do need to win four of their last five, or at least three out of their last five to have a shot.
Do we know where they're at right now on Bractology?
I don't think they're even in the
next four.
I don't think so, no. So they'd have to win four out of five. I've seen them
right on the edge. I think Palm had him as an 11, and I think Bernardo has him just out.
Or he might have had him in a 10 before. I don't know.
They're right on the bubble.
They're close or barely
in. I would say they're probably on the outside.
Probably at 14-12, but I think they deserve a spot personally. I just wanted to mention that. Villanova wins, picks a win at home against Seton Hall, 73-67. Seton Hall, I think, are they cooked, Alex? I don't really know.
They're not nearly as cooked as Xavier Creighton. They're still missing in my eyes.
Early in the season,
they're still missing in my eyes. Their second
Creighton
best player.
Creighton and Xavier, the mid Big East teams are kind of floundering, as in Xavier, Creighton, Seton Hall. But it was kind of expected, I would say. But Marquette has the wins to back it up. That's like
I wouldn't say Marquette's floundering quite yet. Like, I think Xavier is not. I think Xavier's drowning.
They're drowning. They cannot hang. They cannot hang. And then we move on to a phenomenal game at the Kohl Center.
This was a great game, wasn't it, gents? We're all there. We all got to see it with our own two eyes.
Charlie wore his Rutgers shirt as an attendee of UW-Madison. He wore his Rutgers shirt.
In the student section.
Wore his Rutgers shirt, and they won.
I was getting some looks.
73-65. I have a couple takeaways from this game. I'm sure Charlie does too. One, I would like to say that Rutgers shot 58% from three, which is, it's almost impossible to lose shooting like that. 58% is insane.
I had a different takeaway.
Wisconsin shot 21%, and Rutgers did not miss a free throw until the final minute of the game. They were like 15-15, and then Geo clanked 2 or whatever. I don't know.
It appears as if Rutgers received their Christmas gift.
They received their Christmas gift.
Yeah, so Rutgers' last three games, including this one, they beat Michigan State at home, Ohio State at home, Wisconsin on the road, shot over 50% from the floor in all three of these games.
They're starting to get some good looks, and I attribute a lot of that to Headband Paul. I think he is actually a very good facilitator of the offense.
Stop the Headband Paul hate.
I have it. Headband Paul just irritates me because I think he gets too amped up for games.
I think he's like at the beginning, Jerry out there.
I think so too. I think at the beginning of games, he's a little spazzy, has like too much energy. I don't know if he like drank a monster or something, but it's just like his nerves are running so high that he turns it over at the beginning of the game. But let Headband Paul get his feet under him, and he will get you 8 assists. And he'll make some shots. And he honestly has more rebounds than people think, too.
18-5-5.
I want to get to a point you made about Wisconsin shooting bad. Yes, I realize that Wisconsin had a bad shooting night, but...
Rutgers played a nice team.
Caleb McConnell is the best perimeter defender in the country.
How many, I don't know how many steals he had, but it seemed like 3 to 4, probably.
Well, let's check.
Yeah, let's get a stat check on Caleb McConnell. While Charlie's looking, I do need to mention that Brad Davison...
He had six steals.
I knew it was a lot.
And he was locking up Johnny Davis. Yeah, Johnny, he had, what, 2 points in the first half?
Yeah, Johnny finished with 11 and 8. Only took 10 shots in this game. The key to this game was Brad Davison being bad.
That's I thought Johnny played well. Obviously, Caleb contained him.
Yeah,
you thought Johnny played well. For were you watching the same game?
He had 11 points. Was Brad Davison not wide open on a lot of his looks?
He was.
He was finding the open guy.
I'll give Johnny credit to this.
He had four turns.
Okay, I was going to say that he wasn't forcing shots. I didn't really see him force too much. Which is good. He knew that he was going against Caleb, and he knew that he's in the doghouse. He's not going to force shots like that.
So he kicked it out to a wide-open Brad, who was the mason, laying bricks all
day. While you can make this argument like, oh, Brad was laying bricks, Tyler Wall had one of his best games I've seen him play.
Correct.
Maybe ever.
At the end of the day, though, like...
There's no one that the Rutgers has that can guard...
Rutgers completely outplayed Wisconsin.
It was an out-hustle.
Who wanted it more? It was Rutgers.
Yeah, but...
And Geo Baker and Ron, I'm telling you, they just needed to get in their rhythm. I've been saying this for a long time. Geo Baker and Ron are just such a fun duo to watch out there, and they were both hitting their shots. First half, it was mostly Geo.
It was like 3 or 4 made threes from both of them.
Geo had a masterclass in the first half. And then Ron in the second half made some really close shots.
And Cliff is very, very underrated.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly. Or Clifford, as the announcer was calling him.
He is now being called Clifford. But this game started with, I think, a 3 by Gio, a 3 by Ron, a 3 by Gio. And I was like, oh boy.
And then a 3 by Ron that was just like in and out.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is going to be a long day. Like, if these are all going down this early.
When Rutgers can shoot their throws, watch out.
Yeah. This was a masterclass performance. They did everything right, played great defense, hit
this
the three ball at almost 60%, and made all their
free. Yeah, this isn't going to be a surprise, but Rutgers is going to be going very far in Charlie's bracket, if anybody would like a sneak peek.
That's been like 3 years in a row, so like, did anybody expect anything less?
They should have gone to the Elite Eight last year. Argument for another time. Not going to get into that rabbit hole. What game we got next?
We got Alabama hosting Arkansas. Alabama wins this one 68-67. Arkansas was... Could you call them? They were a little bit hot after beating Auburn. And Alabama picks up, I would say, a good win at home, 68-67. Both these teams are kind of weird, though, in my opinion. Kind of hard to like put your finger on either of these teams.
Yeah, we've been saying that about Bama for a while.
I would say, Arkansas had the most Mickey Mouse start ever, playing the worst.
Yeah, but I mean, they just beat Auburn recently.
Exactly, exactly.
So they're not just a bunch of scrubs.
They're not a bunch of scrubs, I agree. I just don't know what to think about them come March kind of thing. I don't know either of these teams. I don't know how I'm going to pick. Probably not very far just because.
I like Arkansas.
I think it'll depend on the draw for possibly both teams.
I agree totally. For sure on both teams that it's going to depend on the draw. They're very matchup. There's not many. They're neither of them matchup proof, obviously.
Yeah.
But very matchup dependent, you could say. And then we have... later on today, we can say North Carolina gets maybe their first good win in a while, beating Florida State at home, 94-74.
Yeah, like I listed this as like.
Is UNC wanting to hang? Do they want to hang their hat on a home win against a mediocre at best Florida State team?
Yeah, Florida State's barely over 500.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that good. Houston suffers, I believe, its second loss in 3 games, something like that, at home against Memphis, 69-59. Are we seeing Houston crumble a little bit? Because they lost to SMU and Memphis in back-to-back games.
Don't look now, but Memphis is starting to pick it up a little bit.
After Penny Hardaway basically just cried for 15 minutes in a press conference, their players rallied around him.
Yeah, they shot 41% from 3.
But this Houston team, Alex, I remember you were saying that when their players went down with injury, you kind of thought Houston was going to lose a lot of games.
I'm not.
They didn't really. Not for a while.
Yeah, not for a while they didn't, but I'm just saying now, are you starting to worry?
I'm not too worried about Houston, in all honesty.
Yeah, if Kyler Edwards is 1-9-3, they don't win a single game against a solid team, they don't win ever. Because Kyler Edwards is the engine that makes that team go. And if he's putting up stinkers like that, I mean, the rest of the team was decent 46% from the field, but when he's 1-9 from three, tough to kind of overcome that, I guess. And Memphis, Alex is right. They've been gaining a little bit of steam.
Mm-hmm. We'll just mention it.
I wouldn't say watch out for Memphis.
They're on the bubble.
They are on the bubble, which is almost ridiculous. Because they play in the American, so I don't really know how I feel about that. But that's an argument for another day. Michigan State wins at home against Indiana, 76-61. Good win for Sparty. Indiana's not a bad team. I think they're 7 games above 500. They're right in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten.
Dude, I absolutely love Malik Hall for Michigan State.
He's the best player
by far. And he comes off the bench.
Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly efficient player. He knows how to hit that post fade. That's like his favorite. Like that little
baseline
fade. It almost looks like it's going over the top of the backboard. It's like the weirdest thing. But he's nice with it. Kentucky picks up a home win against the Stinkers in Florida, 78-57. Nothing to talk about there. I mean, it's Florida. Yeah. Texas Tech home win against TCU, 82-69.
A little comeback win for Tortilla Nation. They got down pretty big early in this one.
Comeback win? They won by 13.
They were down 15 at one point in the first half with like 8 minutes left.
Medium rare. Okay. They like a medium rare. Murray State squeaks by against Morehead State on the road, 57-53.
Morehead's not a terrible team.
Does Morehead State still have that one guy that was Broom? Johnny Broom? Broom? Do they still have Johnny Broom?
I
think they do. Yes,
I was gonna say
do.
I thought they did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a solid player.
They're so not.
He had 14-12.
Yeah, Morehead's not a terrible team.
They're not.
They're not bad. 19-8, 11-3 in conference.
Not bad. They're a mid team. So I guess an okay win for Murray State on the road. Not something to be too worried about. Kansas. As soon as we mentioned Iowa State having some solid wins. They lose at home to Kansas State in OT. Although Kansas State isn't that bad, this didn't help their case for the tourney, and probably why they dropped even more to an 11 seed in Lenardi's most recent rankings. So, not good there for Kansas State. And then a shocker in the Big East, Butler at home in Hinkle Fieldhouse picks up a win against Marquette.
Hinkle Fieldhouse noted. Tough place to play.
I did say to Alex, I said, is this a records out the window game before the game started? And he was like, yeah, probably not, but like probably it could be classified as, because Butler's a tough place to play. And in this game, Marquette was
down like 23 at some point.
Yeah, first half they were down by a lot. I think halftime they were probably down 17 or something like that. And Marquette came roaring back in the second half.
Not too worried. I'm going to look at the positives here. They fought back again. I think it was, they came out lackadaisical, very lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna light a fire under their asses, you know? They were on a hot streak. You can't – in the Big East, if you have a down night, you're going to get beat. That's just how it is.
Big East is a solid conference.
Unless you're playing Georgetown, then you'll probably still win.
Butler, I don't know. I still think that Marquette should beat Butler even on their down night, but I do have to give it to Butler. They played a great game.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 Butler starters were in double figures.
Fucking shot 47%
from the three. They made 13 threes. Like, that's kind of big. It's pretty impressive. But it was good to see Tyler Kolak start splashing near the end. Kind of almost brought
He kind of has been a lot more lately, I've noticed.
More lately. And, of course, Jay Lou gets his 4 of 7 from 3.
He's 27-9. 27-9.
Yeah.
That's my Big East player of the year right there.
I would agree with you. I think he is for sure the Big East player of the year, ahead of Mr. Gillespie. But that was a great win for Butler. Obviously, it's probably not going to mean anything unless they win the Big East tournament, because they have pretty much no resume to go behind. Ohio State picks up a road win against maybe a surging Michigan team at that time, 68-57.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of puts them in their place a little bit, I guess.
Michigan's cooked.
Michigan is.
EJ popped off, 28 points.
Yeah, I did see that. He had a great game for EJ. Virginia Tech picks up a home win against Cuse.
They're crawling their way back up to the bubble, too.
I would love it if Virginia Tech got on the right side of the bubble. I think it'd be hilarious.
I don't know where they are now. I didn't really.
I saw them at next four out somehow, I don't know how.
I don't think they deserve that.
They're 8-7 in the ACC.
Yeah, the ACC is pretty bad, so take that with a grain of salt. Providence picks up a home win in OT against the Balls. 76-73.
The balls of DePaul.
DePaul is not good, and Providence squeaks by. I guess they kind of just just a gritty win.
How many free throws did
Al Durham shoot?
12 of 12.
He is a charity stripe menace. Merchant. He knows how to get to the stripe, and he will make his throws.
He's kind of like, he's the James Harden of CBB. He just gets to the line. I don't know how he keeps doing it. It seems like it's hard. That's a pretty tough thing to keep consistent. Just get to the stripe 10 times per game. But, man, does he do it.
He's consistent with it.
And then Gonzaga playing a ranked St. Mary's team at home and beats them by 16, 74, 50, 58. So
that'll happen.
Tommy Cousy had a nice game, though. I feel like he's been at St. Mary's forever. 16-5-5.
Well, for sure, all 3 years we've done this podcast.
He has been there.
Minimum that. USC picks up a great home win against UCLA, 67-64, kind of bolstering their lackluster-ish resume, I guess. They've been wavering a little bit in their Pac-12 play, but that's a great
home UCLA win. UCLA's now lost 3 out of their last 4.
Is UCLA kind of...
I saw something on the halftime show of Marquette today. I don't know if you saw this too, Alex, where they said, which team has a greater chance of making the Final Four, Arizona or UCLA? The guy on there took UCLA. What are your thoughts?
I disagree, actually.
Zona.
I would probably go Zona.
Zona's got the best player out of those two teams.
Mm-hmm. I think they had the big Pac-12 player of the year, obviously.
Ben Mathurin. Stud.
Mm-hmm.
Ben.
Ben.
Just Ben. But that wraps up Saturday's games. I would like to mention one more game.
Another Pac-12 game, Oregon. Another bubble team. Loses at home to Cal by 15.
Cal is awful. The bubble's popped. For now. Unless they have some good wins to pick it up at the end. But this Oregon team, I just want to quick say, they've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Back-to-back wins against UCLA and USC.
On the road.
And then losing at home to Cal.
And Colorado.
In the same season.
Are we serious?
And then you want to look at the beginning of their season when they start out 7-7.
They were losing every game at the beginning of the season, yeah. I swear.
Yep. I bet they have two or three quad three losses, probably something like that.
Yeah.
It's got to be awful. But that wraps up the games then from Saturday. Moving to Sunday, start off with UConn on the road against the Johnnies. Close game, but UConn pulls it out 63-60.
I'm not going to sit here and say the Johnnies are building a tourney resume, but they're playing better now than they were at the beginning of the year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, the Johnnies are not bad.
I would agree. Purdue squeaks by Maryland, 62-60.
Fats popped off, 24-9-6. Nine boards! Fats Russell had 9 boards.
He's like
6'8". He's 5'10".
Really?
If that. He's probably 5'9".
He's short. He is incredibly short. Purdue only shot 44% from the field, which is... I feel like they're not that big of a three-point shooting team. They did take 23s in this game.
Purdue?
Yeah, Zach
Eadie. Oh, I actually disagree. I think they shoot a lot of threes.
I guess, but they're focused.
Sasha's shot 9.
Yeah, Sasha's always 5-9 from 3 for him, so a good game for Sasha. Travion got his 6-9 from the field. Zach Eadie got his 5-9 from the field. It seems like a game where they just probably shouldn't have lost. Jaden Ivey was off.
They didn't lose.
They should have won that one by more if Travion and Eadie are... I guess. But it was a tight game. Credit to Maryland. Fats Russell putting it together. Maybe a little resurgence play from the old good old Rhode Island days when he was a legit bucket.
That's when he was the best.
When he was a legit bucket. He's pulled in Nigel Hayes and has gotten worse every year he's played ball. Moving on, then we have Illinois at home against Northwestern, winning 73-66. Just a solid win, pulling it out. Iowa destroys Nebraska at home, 98-75. I wonder what Jabo shot from the 3 ball in this game.
This wasn't the game where he made 10 threes, was it?
I don't think it was. Keegan Murray, King Staphead. We have to say it. He was 15-21 from the floor, 3-4 from 3 with 37-6. So we have to acknowledge this. This needs to be said. As much as we dislike to say that King Staphead is legitimately good,
this is basketball. Just about the best place to pad those stats, but
the Murray Bros were a combined 20 for 28 with 49 points.
Chris Murray is honestly probably the second best player on that team.
What was Nebraska's conference win? Who was it against again?
If it's not Minnesota,
because they're one. At least
at the time, it's Minnesota.
Yeah, it was Minnesota.
They're 1-13 in conference.
Yeah, they stink. And their first one was against Minnesota, and
first and only.
First and only, and I'm happy that the boat is sunk. Ever, all those Minnesota fans can go cry. I'll drink the tears. That wraps up then Sunday's games. We can move in to Monday then. Not too many good games today. Kansas State defeating West Virginia at home, 78-73. This West Virginia team, I don't think of them either.
They're cooked.
They're cooked, you think? You think they're not making the
tournament? They're definitely cooked.
They're like, they won't even be a bubble team coming into the year. No. I don't know what their schedule is.
Speaking of bubble teams, Wesley, Arvad Tech, Hokies, beat Virginia.
Virginia, did they?
In-state rivalry.
Did they sweep Virginia this year?
No, they lost.
I remember that. They did lose at home. Mm. Or on the road.
This Arvad Tech team, surging.
They're surging at the right time. Hey, keep an eye out, maybe.
We'll run that ACC tourney. You never know.
If they get 2 wins in the ACC tourney, I think, depending on how they end their season, obviously. All dependent.
Well, they're not going to get a great seeding in it, probably.
In the ACC.
Well, actually.
Dude, they have no good wins.
We do not care. We do not care. I can assure you.
And they lost to Memphis and Xavier.
Memphis was early in the year when Memphis was good. That's when Memphis was good.
They lost to Xavier, dude.
Wasn't Memphis ranked during that game?
Yeah.
They were like 13.
But Xavier's and the
game plan going in from Team Vatek was
keep it close. That was the game. I remember that game pretty vividly, actually.
That was
around Thanksgiving.
And they kept it close-ish, so credit to them.
Is there really any other games?
No, not really, other than Kansas beating Okie State and Oregon squeaking by a shitty-ass, sorry, pardon my language, Washington State team. So, Oregon, there you go. You're officially cooked. Moving into Tuesday then, Penn State at home behind picks up a win against Michigan State, 62-58. John Harar, was this the game that he just went bananas? I think he had 16-16. Yeah. This was...
Does anyone get the feeling that, like, Penn State and Northwestern are kind of, like, the exact same teams?
Like, I don't think Penn State does not have Chase Audi.
I don't think they're that bad.
I don't either.
Penn State and Northwestern.
Yeah, I don't. Minnesota's terrible. Nebraska's terrible. But Penn State...
Maryland is terrible.
That's disagrees a little bit. But...
Playing better.
I think Maryland.
What are our thoughts on Michigan State? I know they were in the buy-sell hold, but I'm just not really feeling them, personally.
No.
I don't know.
I can't really get behind this team at all, especially not having, like, a star player. I feel like there's no guy for them to lean on come a clutch moment. They don't really know who to go to.
I agree.
I think Malik Hall is their best player, but that doesn't mean that he's, like, their go-to guy in the clutch. So,
yeah,
I'm a little bit worried about them. Duke squeaks by Wake Forest. This is a kind of an electric finish, honestly. 76-74, Cameron Indoor. So Duke, we'll kind of play-by-play this out. So Duke gives up a bucket with 10 seconds left to tie the game. They go down, put up a shot, and it rims out, and Mark Williams goes, jumps, and dunks it back in. Initially called a goaltend, and they reviewed it, and they counted the bucket. So Wake Forest had, like,
I think... Did you guys think it was a goaltend?
No.
It was out of the cylinder.
It was close.
It was very close, it was a great call. I congrats to the Stripes on making a great call on this one. But Wake Forest has probably 0.81 second left, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They get the ball. This guy's like in the air, like turning like a third base throw in the air, jumping, throwing to first base, whips it, backboard rim, barely out.
Yeah, picture Troy Tulowitzki taking like a backhand grounder back in the days and just trying to, you know, do one of those miraculous throws where you just contort your body and throw it towards first base. That's how he did that in like a three-quarter court shot, and he almost made it.
Backboard, front rim, just missed.
I want to see Wake Forest make the tourney really
They're
bad.
Nice. They're it's not that
Alondis
bad.
Alondis Williams.
They're 27.
He's
going to
be first team All-ACC hands down. He averages 27-5.
The Demon Deacons of Wake Forest.
That would just be so sick.
Yeah, Gumbel announced that one.
Yeah, that would be pretty nuts, but... I think they're a top 4 team in the ACC. The ACC does stink, but
Yeah, 21 team.
I mean, you can't discredit wins. You just can't do it.
I'd rather see Vodtech make it personally.
I think that'd be a tight battle between the two mediocre ACC teams. Texas squeaks by on the road against Oklahoma in OT, 80-78. Was watching this game.
Another nail biter for Oklahoma that they come on the losing side of.
I mean, this is Porter Moser's first year as Oklahoma, and he's already doing great things, keeping it tight in these big games against great Big 12 teams. I think they're pretty much outmatched talent-wise in 75% of their Big 12 league play games. So
I would agree.
I mean, he's doing a great job kind of getting them in this position to have a chance. The Grove Bros, Tanner and Jacob Groves, transfers from Eastern Washington, our centerpiece of this team, and Moshe Gibson as well. Jordan Goldwire's having a nice year transfer. Yep. I think grad transfer probably from Duke.
Was he a grad or I guess it doesn't matter, but
he's, I think it was his fifth year or something. Okay. So yeah. Yeah. Probably he played four at Duke, so and then moving on to later in the night, we have Ohio State beating Minnesota by 25 at home. Free 70 win. To 45. That's the definition of a free win. Tennessee. Now we get into so good game. Tennessee defeats Kentucky at home 76-63. Tennessee, that's a team that's surging.
I've never been a fan of Tennessee. I didn't even really like them when they had Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield.
Oh, I liked that team back then.
I loved that team.
I was starting to really like this Tennessee team. After they got blown out by, was it Kentucky in their first matchup, this Tennessee team is starting to play a lot better ball.
I agree. I mean, they're having a kind of a similar, like an opposite of Iowa State, where they had a tough start and have gotten some great wins down the stretch. I think they're peaking at the right time. They can carry it into the SEC tournament. There's a chance they could win the SEC.
Yeah, I really like what I saw in this game out of Tennessee. I haven't been watching too much of them this year, to be honest.
They're normally play a pretty boring brand of basketball.
Yeah, that's why I don't. But like, I liked what I saw.
Not this year.
Not this year, exactly.
Because Kennedy Chandler is electric.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So this is a great win for Tennessee. Kind of bolstering their SEC resume. We'll see what happens. We'll see what seed line they end up on. Alex, mm-hmm. You know where they're at right now? They about a
three or four? They're on four. The four, yeah. Four
line. Okay. That's also before
this well win. Deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is before this win as well, too. So
okay.
We'll see what they're at next week. Big East matchup. Top two teams in the Big East. Villanova takes on Providence on the road and picks up a win 89-84. This was a great game.
Really good game.
Very, very good game. I mean, there's a lot of talent on both of these teams, honestly. But Colin Gillespie was just too much. 33 points, 5 of 8 from 3, and that's just ridiculous. Nate Watson had 20-6 as well. It was a great fight, but Providence shooting 22% from 3 ain't going to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that was hitting was Jared Bynum, and he is a 46% three-point shooter off the bench. Providence didn't get Noah Horschler enough looks, in my opinion. He's a really good shooter. And then also, Justin Manaya struggled from the field, too, even though he's primarily a defense-first guy.
Al Durham was also 5-15. CG, though,
33 yeah. points, making his case for Big East Player of the
yeah.
Year.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I'm normally not a huge CG fan, personally. That's just me. I don't really like him, but...
See, I respect the mess out of CG's game, and this might be a little biased, but I think it should go Justin Lewis. But I can almost guarantee you it's going to go to Gillespie.
Is it because Jay Wright is going to be chirping the officials and the Big, does, 10, the Big East... Player to your voting
it's
committee?
It's because they're a top 10 team, but then you know, I can make the case that, well, Marquette beat him twice and Jay Lou hit the dagger on your dome. True. At Nova. I mean, I think it's going to go to Gillespie, but
yeah, probably disagree. Well, just because of team success, probably, which is a little unfortunate.
Yes. And they're probably like, oh my God, he missed a tournament last year with his torn Achilles. It's like.
So but his team still won two games in that tournament. I hate that narrative because that's part of the reason I don't like Gillespie.
I don't know, dude.
He gets a lot of undue credit for stuff that he sometimes doesn't have to deal with, like that tourney run.
They would have given Baylor a really good shot. Like, they probably would have beat Baylor, in my opinion.
Hmm. No, they would not have.
You think?
Did you watch that Baylor team last year? Ain't nobody beating that team.
Nova matched up good with Baylor. They had the guards to compete with Baylor.
Nobody was beating that Baylor team last year.
They had the defense, the guards, and the discipline.
Zags was the only fair matchup, I'd say, for that team.
Even that matchup was...
proved to be incorrect.
Too much
for the Zags. Wisconsin, this was an electric game as well. Road win against Indiana. Indiana was 3.5-point favorites in this game. So I think that qualifies as a great win. I think it's going to be a quad one win, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
100% a quad one win.
On the road, Assembly Hall, Johnny was waving goodbye to the fans. Bye-bye,
pussies. You did say that. That was said.
Direct quote.
He had 30 and 12.
And he was hitting some clutch shots.
10 of 15 from the floor. This guy, he can just get a bucket whenever he wants.
Unless Caleb McConnell is guarding him.
Okay. Now, I have to say something about... Alex was complaining a lot throughout this game about Brad Davison getting a lot of calls, which I do agree. He does get a lot of calls. But Johnny Davis gets no calls. None.
I agree with that 100%.
He gets nothing.
I mean, he did attempt 14 free throws. So Johnny? This game might not be the best time to pull that card.
But normally he does not.
But think about this. Alex and I watched probably 2 to 3 plays when he would drive and he would get bump, bump, bump all the way down, which is normally like a pretty easy-ish block.
Because that's the brand of basketball he plays. He tries to slice and dice, cut between defenders like that. And like the refs don't want to call a foul.
Because they would have to call every time because he always is able to sneak.
But it sometimes seems like he's getting gypped.
They give the calls to McFlop or Brad Davison, and it's like, are we serious? Flopped 3 times that game.
Brad McFlop.
His fiance came on the broadcast and said he practices taking charges, or as I like to call them, flops.
That's kind of funny.
Alex said that she said that he practiced taking flops. That is not true. And when we were watching the game,
I know.
When we were watching, but
she said he practices taking charges
with her.
That's what I said. Which in my eyes are all flops.
Well, I don't know. That's misleading. I didn't hear that, and so I thought she was saying he practices flops.
No, I said charges first, but in my eyes, they're all flops.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Me and Wesley had a 5-minute debate on a charge call. That went Wisconsin's way. And it's Brad Davison. Wesley's like, bro, he put his shoulder into him. And it's like, he put a shoulder on his chest. And what does Brad do? Ugh! His head just goes flailing back like he got hit by a 16-pound
ball. Well, you can feel free to cry to us after this podcast. But we do have to keep it moving here, Alex. So.
Well, I'm
just
saying,
keep it moving.
TJD, I feel bad for you. 30 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. He's just got no one around him.
Yeah.
Like, we were begging Xavier Johnson to shoot the ball. Because he stinks.
He does stink. And he
3 of 16 from the floor.
That's a thumbs up if you're a Wisconsin fan. Wyoming loses on the road to New Mexico. New Mexico, not New Mexico State. This is New Mexico who stinks. Wyoming was ranked. Wyoming will no longer be ranked and should maybe not even make the tournament after this loss. They lose 77-66. Arkansas wins on the road against Missouri 76-57. And San Diego State beats Utah State at home by 19. So.
And Butler, back-to-back wins, beat DePaul on the road.
Good win for Butler, I could say. You could say. And then that wraps up Tuesday's games. We'll just quick get into what's going on right now Wednesday. Not too much other than Texas Tech ended up beating Baylor by 10. Purdue won on the road at Northwestern by 6. Auburn won at home against Vandy by 14. UConn beats Seton Hall at home by 5. And then Pittsburgh beats North Carolina. Love to see it.
You are missing one game.
I'm also missing one game where Rutgers did beat Illinois.
I don't have much to say on Rutgers.
Two more games that you're missing.
I'm not going to like just talk about them all the time. We've said enough about Rutgers, but Cliff. He's that dude. Like, he's the only guy that can really put on Kofi, and I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't have Kofi's exact line in front of me. What do you do? Yeah, I mean, Kofi's going to get his 20-10.
Yeah.
But still, impressive stuff from Cliff. Brad Underwood had big praise for him after the game. He said, Cliff's a pro's pro.
Bama beats Mississippi State at home, 80-75.
Marquette, bounce back win against Georgetown. Still looking for their first winning conference.
Couldn't
find tonight. Shout out TK, 11 assists. And then we got the frauds of Xavier losing at home to the Johnnies by 13 points.
What is Xavier in bracketology right now?
See it. They were on the 7 line before.
Oh, my God.
Give me the 10.
Even if it's Wyoming, give me the 10.
Yeah. I'm taking it all day.
Lego Johnnies.
Yeah. Julian with 27 and 5 assists.
Nanji had 20 at half in this game, only finished with 22. Scrub.
Okay. Scrub for scoring 20 and a half, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hate Xavier as much as the next guy, but.
But Jack Nanji actually could be the best player, in my opinion. Possibly. Ahead of Paul Scruggs, possibly. Both those guys leading their team to being
first-round exit. Somehow Zach Fremantle was like preseason first team All-Big East. He stinks.
I want Xavier in the bracket so bad. So I can have a free win, free pick. But that wraps up the games from Wednesday. If we want to get into any games to look forward to or just...
Yeah, let's go to tomorrow. Let's see what we got.
Normally Thursday is probably not going to be too much.
Yeah, tomorrow's a stinker.
I think the only ranked team playing is Arizona hosting a 3-20 Oregon State, and then
Friday's a stinker too. But we're gonna rapid fire a few games Saturday.
Yeah,
we got TCU on the road at Baylor. Give me Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
We got Illinois on the road at Sparty.
Illinois.
Give me Illinois.
Illinois.
Xavier on the road at UConn. I think UConn. Tortilla Nation on the road at Texas. Texas has been playing a bit better recently.
I think Tortilla Nation picks up the win there.
I do too, actually. I agree. On the road.
Give me a road Tortilla Nation as well.
Okay.
And we got Bama on the road at Kentucky.
Kentucky bounce back all day.
Give me Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Auburn on the road against Florida. Potential trap game for Auburn. I'm just going to say it right now, but I'm still going to pick Auburn.
Florida going to get their, what, first quad one win?
Second? I'm also starting to think that Auburn is not the second best ranked team in the country.
I do agree with that.
Their defense is not.
I think they're probably sixth.
They have Walker Kessler, and outside of that, their defense is
sixth. And you don't think they use Roy Smith in the right way as well? You were saying that earlier. Yes.
He needs a lot more shots.
I agree.
Katie Johnson. I love Wendell Green. I don't really like Katie Johnson, but they take way too many shots.
Jabari does need more shots because he's their best offensive weapon, probably. So
absolutely.
Walker Kessler is probably number two.
Potentially. Up for debate. Tennessee goes on the road at Arkansas.
I think the Hogs win.
Give me Tennessee.
Give me the Hogs. They just beat Auburn at home. I like them at home. Yeah. Musselman's got the boys rolling.
Got them absolutely dialed.
Then we got...
Ooh, you guys are forgetting one. Morgan State versus Howard. Who do we got?
Oh, shit. Give me.
I was expecting some barn burner, and then I get Howard.
I mean,
yeah, I don't really know.
Is Howard at home?
I don't know. They're both in the MEAC.
Yeah, I think I like Howard in this one.
I'd take Howard in that as well.
I think Morgan State's gonna pop the upset. Watch out for this one, folks.
It's gonna be a barn burner.
Uh huh.
Oh, one more big game: North Texas at UAB.
UAB.
Low conference. Boom. USA action.
Boom. UAB.
Give me the Mean Green. The Mean Green is, I hate to say it, the best team in conference USA.
Absolutely not.
We'll see. The Dragons.
I really wish it was Wob Tech, but I don't think it is.
Kenneth Lofton would be such a nice, fun
Naismith midseason player of the year candidate.
If they could just make the tourney, what if they just win their conference tourney?
Well, that's basically all it comes down to.
Well, I don't major
teams. Also, dude, UAB... I think they were on the first four out in Leonardo.
No.
Yeah, as a mid-major.
I feel like every team's on the first four out. I feel like we said eight teams that are on the first four
out. Dude, UAB is legit, though.
First four out right now is Memphis, Michigan, SDSU, and Florida.
Oh, shit.
Next four out is Nutgers, Kansas State, Vatek, and Belmont.
Belmont sucks.
I don't think they're even the best team in the...
OVC? It's Murray State.
Yeah.
It's an easy choice.
Easy.
The OVC championship every year is Belmont Murray State. You can pencil it.
No, it's gonna be Murray State versus Moorhead this year, unless they play each other.
All right, we'll see. All right, you guys have anything else to add, or should we wrap things up here?
That's about it.
All right, it was good to be back. Good to be recording. And until next time, this is Made in March.